Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
I think everybody knows who Moses was. He's only mentioned 261 verses in Exodus alone, in just one book. 80 verses in Leviticus, 216 verses in Numbers, 35 verses in Deuteronomy, 51 verses in Joshua, even after he was dead, and 47 verses in other historical books. I want you to think about that. The book of Psalms and the prophets also refer to him. He's mentioned 37 times in the Gospels, 19 times in the book of Acts, and 22 verses in the epistles of Paul. The book of Revelation even refers to Moses. Altogether, I want you to think about this. He's mentioned 784 times in the Bible, 705 times in the Old Testament, and the remaining 79 times in the New Testament. Talk about a guy who's been mentioned a few times, right? You might not, you know, now you might not know, or actually, let's think about this. Maybe your name was not mentioned in the Bible, right? But I know your name has been mentioned millions of times by someone in her book. Mom, right? Moms like to talk about their children. Have you ever met a mom that cannot stop talking about her children? Have you ever met a mom that all she does is talk about her children? She's looking for every opportunity in every conversation to insert her kid's name and then tell you all about them. Have you ever seen a mom like that? There's none in here, right? Well, actually, let me close my eyes because I don't want to give you away. Oh, my Lord. And nothing but praises for their children. That's great. Now, as far as pointing out their challenges, we leave that up to the dads, right? Mom praises their children, but dad sees the reality on the other side, right? And says, yeah, sure. I love them. Now, I'm just kidding, right? But we'll talk about dads some other times. Because when dads talk about their children's challenges, mom come around and cleans everything up. All right, so now, mothers, just like fathers, we all have hopes and dreams for our children. But it always seems like mothers have this special thing in their hearts when it comes to their hopes and dreams for their children. And if you don't believe me, I want you to watch this short video. So, Mom, what are some of your dreams and hopes and aspirations as you think of your child's future?
So, I really think that it's a funny question, and I'm going to tell you why.
Well, I've been asked this question a lot when I was pregnant with him.
My hopes and prayers for Lilia is that she seeks to pursue a relationship with God.
When you are growing up and you think of your child's future when you're young,
at the end of his days, I want him to stand before God and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant."
I pray that I'm setting a good example for her to follow as a woman of God.
So I want him to be faithful. And not only that, I want him to grow spiritually. And I think that he's a really great person, and I want him to continue to build on that. And if he just holds faith really tight, like if his life depended on it, because obviously it does at the end of the day.
Well, I would like him to live out the slogan that Charles Stanley once said, which I want him to be someone with a passion for God and compassion for people. And I want him to be surrounded by people who love and appreciate who he is.
Pray every morning, and I always have her recite at least 5 affirmations. I am strong, I am beautiful, I am smart, I am a child of God. Just anything that she wants to speak positively into her life, That's something that we do now, and that's something that I pray she continues to do in her life going forward.
For anyone's future, for our child's future, I think Christ has to be number one. And without Christ, we can't do anything, because He made us, and so He knows us the best.
And those are my hopes and dreams for Lilia's future.
And that's my hope for my child's future.
And that's my hope for my child's future.
In Christ.
In Christ.
In Christ.
Now think of this. You've heard some of these beautiful young mothers talk about the future dreams and hopes for their children. And they talk about faith and walking with Christ and growing in Christ, having compassion for others, holding on to the faith and affirming themselves in Christ. And those are some really great things. Now imagine finding yourself in a situation in which the only hope for your child is for him to at least survive and not die. You see, that's exactly what happened to a certain woman in the Bible. If my child only gets to live, that's all I hope for right now. As a mother, I'm pretty sure that this is a very difficult thought. That would be a very difficult situation. Well, that's the case of a mother named Jochebed. If you thought raising a child today is hard, I want you to think of this little boy named Moses and his mother Jochebed and how difficult. Today is Mother's Day, and of course, in this sermon today, you may think, well, there's nothing for me because I'm not a mother. Well, you may not be a mother, but you're something else called a child of some mother. So I hope you are able to glean something from this message. You see, you may not be designed to have children, men, of course, boys. But if you think of having children in the future with a woman who can't have children, I hope that you can find something from this message that at least, you know, makes you think about either your mother or the mother of your future children. And of course, just watch out for these three moms that are going to be viral on YouTube, okay? I told them I'm going to make them famous. But I want us to read real quick in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. And I want you to see what it says in the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. You see, here's what's happening. I want to go to the story now. I want you to go with me to Exodus chapter 2. You've seen that. All it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, is that by faith, mom and dad hid this beautiful child because they knew that there was an edict by the king. It had become a law that any woman who would have a boy, this boy would be thrown in the river. And if the mom had a girl, the girl would be taken to become a slave for the Egyptians. Wow. But let's go to chapter 2 in Exodus, starting in verse 1. Now, a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. Now, meaning from the same lineage, from the same tribe, okay? Now, don't be thinking, well, they were brother and sister. That's not what it's saying there. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But, you know, it's totally the opposite now. A woman can have a beautiful or an ugly baby, and she wants to take pictures of that baby and put them everywhere, right? But she hid him for 3 months. But there's a reason why. because they were killing babies at the time. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him in a wicker basket and covered it with some tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile with her maidens walking alongside the Nile. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. And she had pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go ahead." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. The child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses and said, "Because I drew him out of the waters." Actually, the name Moses means drawn out. Drawn out, and she drew him out of the water. Therefore, she named him Moses. But I want you to know something. Here's some things that moms already know, and you may already know, but I just want to remind you of. Number one, you have been planned by God. Your life, you were planned by God. You're not here by accident. And today, we know there are many people who make efforts to actually not have children and plan the times and the seasons to have children or not to have children. You know, but I don't know about this situation, but Pharaoh had made it into a law, like I said, that every boy that would be born out of the Hebrews would be sent and thrown in the river. Only the girls were kept for their pleasure. Just like abortion today, I want you to think about this. The Egyptians would throw these babies in the river. Moses, you know, I want you to think about this, because maybe your mother did not put you in a basket or hide you in a basket, but you were taken out of somewhere special. You came out of a little basket called womb from your mother, and God planned that. It was the power of God that sustained you in there. It was the power of God that gave you life in there. And then from that basket called womb, he put you and placed you in the arms of a loving mother. And security and protection. But I'm going to talk about that a little bit. You're here, period. How many of you are here? Well, those of you who are there are also here. You know what I mean? You're here because you've been planned by God. And simple. Maybe you were not planned by your parents, but God planned you. And maybe your mom wasn't as loving as you would have it, but God loves you. And I want you to keep thinking about that for a second. You know, a true mom is the one that loves her children, no matter how good or how bad they turn out, right? And I wonder where they get that. They get that from God, of course, because God's plan for your life is to love you no matter what, no matter what you do or what you become. But not only you were planned by God, but also you were placed by God wherever you were placed. I know, once again, that some of us may have not had a good or a beautiful or something that you want to remember as a childhood, you know, because some moms have actually failed, just like dads. And sometimes we as humans fail. Children fail. We live in a fallen world. But I want you to think about this. Even when you have been born into a family, which you may not have much to say, God placed you somewhere. And wherever he places you, he'll take care of you. I want you to think of Pharaoh's daughter. When she saw the baby in the little basket, what did she do? Immediately she recognized, this is a Hebrew boy. This is a Hebrew boy. You know what that means? I should let him go downriver. I should just let him go. But no, guess what? I'll adopt him. I'll take him home with me. And I'll raise him as my own. What a heart. You see, she was an Egyptian princess. She didn't need this. She didn't need to take on this responsibility. In fact, you know, she knew this baby was a Hebrew. She knew that she might find some problems there. You see, she didn't have to do what she did, and she could have left the child to go downriver, and she would have been right to do so according to the law. Imagine that. But there was something else happening. Her compassion was exceedingly great, and God used her to raise the one kid that would become the precursor of Christ. I want you to think about this. In the Old Testament, he is the picture of the Savior. And I'm saying the picture, the precursor, the shadow, because he's not the Savior. The man who would become second in the Bible only to Christ in the history of mankind. Oh, what a wonderful thing. This is a kid that was thrown in the river in a basket with hopes that he would survive. You see what an impact you can have on a child when you invest and when you impart, even if it's something small. You see, you may think that whatever you can give a child may be insignificant, but it's not. Even if you don't have the privilege of having children, even if you haven't had that privilege, I want you to think about it. Maybe you never gave birth to a child, or maybe you can't. You can still be a blessing in some child's life. How can you bless somebody's kid? How can you bless a child? Pharaoh's daughter took Moses in, and she was willing to invest in his life. You can invest in other people's kids' lives too. You can invest in a child's life, whether you're babysitting, or whether you're working in the children's ministry at church, or whether you even adopt a child. Yes, yes, yes. Children, there are millions of children around the world that need to be adopted. And maybe, you know, there's a kid out there whose life is in danger today and in need of some loving care. Maybe there's a child out there whose last name is going to be yours someday and you don't even know it yet. Or maybe there is a child whose life simply depends on the willingness of someone to take them in, and you could be the one. While Moses was from the tribe of Levi, and this is a tribe of priests, you know, he was born in poverty, though. He was born in slavery. I want you to think about it. You see, your mom and dad may not have had much, you know. They might have raised you in a poor neighborhood or a not so wealthy home. You see, your mom and dad may have been poor, but God decided for you to be born of them, and you are God's blessing to them. And if you don't believe me, ask her. Ask mom. Yeah, that's right. Look at her and say, am I really a blessing to you? Yeah, amen. You see, there is no greater blessing that God, you know, I want you to think, like we were just singing this song, the blessing comes straight out of the Bible, Numbers chapter 6. What does it say? The Lord bless you and keep you. May he shine his countenance upon you and give you peace. Oh my God. Isn't that what mothers want for their children? Isn't that what we want for our children? Isn't that what we want for ourselves? What a blessing. And not only that, to be a blessing to others. You see, God blesses us so that we can be a blessing too. And if you still do not believe me, you can ask those three YouTube viral moms that I just presented to you today. You see, not only you were planned by God and placed by God wherever you've been placed, but you also are protected by God. You look at Moses' mother, she actually took the basket and put some tar and pitch on it, and she prepped it real good. Even in the midst of the dangers of death, before Moses was born, he was already destined to die according to the Egyptian law. He had a death sentence on him. But when it says that when mom could not hide him any longer, you know, she decided to do this. I'm pretty sure she had prayed. You know, I don't know her. There's not much mention about her. Actually, you got to search the whole Bible to find her name somewhere. But I'm pretty sure she had prayed or something, because there's just no way that this is all coincidence, right? Maybe she prayed to God to protect him. Maybe she prayed. I think she was very smart. I think she had a strategy. I think she did something because she knew something. She had devised in her heart something that must have come from God, period. You see, she's contemplating the child going down the river. And I wonder if she ever questioned God's plan. I wonder if she ever said, God, is this going to work? Am I a good mother by doing this? I'm pretty sure so many of you mothers would have been like, oh, Lord, I'm not sure about this. He's got no floaties. There were no floaties at the time. Don't you think about that, right? There were crocodiles. There were snakes. There was predators in the water. What if this little basket capsizes? As a mother, you probably would be thinking about that. And I think she was too. While there was already a death sentence for Moses, she believed. She had faith. She said no. And the cool thing is that when we looked at Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter 11 of Hebrews is the chapter of the heroes of the faith. The parents of Moses are placed there as having faith and being the heroes of the faith because they trusted God. You see, no, he will survive. Talk about courage from this mom. She hid him, even though she hid him in their little, they probably lived in a little hut. Remember, they were Hebrews. They were in captivity. And there's no better place to hide your children than home, right? If only children would recognize that the best place to be is to be at home. You see, when they're little, they don't want to go anywhere. And then all of a sudden, they want to leave and run away from home. They don't want to come back. But then you see them grow, then you can't get rid of them. They keep coming back. Oh my God, don't you have a house now? Aren't you married? Don't you have your own children? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. This little empty nest is not empty, really. Right? But they keep crawling back when they're old. And that's cool. Mom doesn't mind. I don't know about daddies. Well, we'll talk about dads another day. But she will always be waiting with the light on and wanting them to come back. That's a reflection of God's love. Simple. You see right there? When you tend to want to run from God, God always keeps the light on for you too. God is always waiting for us with loving arms. You see, because he is always hopeful that we would come back to him, that we would come back to our senses and come back to his loving arms. Being in God's loving arms is always the best place to be. And one of the greatest places to experience that is being in mom's arms. You see, apparently, I don't know, I'm just making stuff up now, okay? I think that maybe, actually their names were Amram and Jochebed, okay? I think Amram and Jochebed knew something about history. And I think they had heard the story about a certain man who was told to build a vessel and put some tar and pitch on it, seal it up and get in it and navigate through the waters in order to be saved. Because that's exactly what they did. They probably remembered the ark. Oh, wait a second. Noah did it with the ark. We'll do it with a basket. When God had already condemned the world to death because they were so wicked before the flood, all of a sudden, here comes Noah, builds the ark, and the people who were in the ark were saved. Now here comes Jochebed and Amram, and they build a little basket. Well, they weaved it or not or whatever. Maybe they went down to the dollar store and got it. But they prepped it, and they put it in the water. And the one who was in the basket, guess what? He got saved. What an amazing plan God has. What a way to protect. What a way to provide. What a way to place. And he uses moms and dads for that. See, it was judgment. There was sin. There was the attacks of the enemy. The threat of death by so many ways and so many things. And it's the same today. But you see, we can also be saved. Maybe not by being hidden in a basket, but because of the cross that Jesus went through for you and me. See, maybe they decided, well, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? So they made a little ark for their little child named Moses. See, they committed Moses to God and to Miriam. You know who Miriam was? We'll talk about her in a second. See, we cannot save our own lives, but there's one who wants to save us. And moms and dads care about that. I wonder if they would say to each other at the time, well, this is how God saves people. He puts on them something, floats them on water, and they're okay on the other side. I don't know. See, Moses' salvation was not about Pharaoh's daughter. It was about God himself. It was God working through mom, through dad, through the little sister, through the princess. That's what God was doing. And God is always willing to save anyone who trusts him, just like they trusted Moses unto God. God is always willing to pull you out of the turbulent waters of your life and save you. Now, let me talk a little bit about Miriam, the little sister. Can you imagine? Here's the mom. She gets the basket. They put it in the water. But there's... the story says that Miriam, his sister, is out there watching the basket and looking for the basket and making sure the basket is going the right way. Can you imagine Mama Jochebed, before she put the basket in the water, talking to Miriam? Now you listen to me, little thing. I need you to help me. Oh, if you lose that basket, I'm going to whoop you. Oh, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. You better, right? So here goes a little Miriam, right? Following Mama's instructions, whatever they sounded like, I don't know. But Jochebed did not leave her baby alone. And you know, I looked earlier today as our dearly beloved sister Dawn went and picked up Carolina's baby and just took her that way. And I could see her eyes just follow the little baby. And I could see the grandma going. And then I saw Dawn hand her over to Caroline. You see, I get it right? Right? She handed her over to you. And Caroline made her disappear. You better know where she at, right? But I'm pretty sure Mama, even while I'm speaking, she's already thinking about going and picking her up. You can wait. It's just be a little while. She's okay. She's with someone. I don't know who, but she's okay. Maybe the princess picked her up. Okay? But you see, that's what happens. Moms may send their children. Moms may instruct their children to go do whatever. But in their hearts, they're right here the whole time. They can't wait to have them back in their arms. Oh, my goodness. She took the measures. She did what she did in order to shield him and protect him. You see, this is the thing that I get from that. See, God has a plan. And while God's plan sometimes may sound a little cuckoo for us because we just can't imagine how God would think, okay, put them in a basket, throw them in the river. What? See, most moms today would be like, oh, heck no. You wrong for that. I ain't putting them in no river. You know what that Mississippi looks like, right? But as crazy as God's plans sound and everything, she was careful. She was prudent. She thought about it. You see, God does not want us to simply, believe him carelessly and have lack of common sense. God does have common sense, believe it or not. You see, and this mom knew that, even though, you know, of course, that's why she sent the little baby. Now, Miriam goes out there. She sees what's happening. I can picture little Miriam going, pushing the water. Go, 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 go. That's where the princess is. Go, 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 go. Oh, my God. Right? And here comes the princess and says, oh, my God, this baby, he's crying. Oh, and she says, hey, can I find somebody to take care of him for you? I know a good babysitter. You see, I think mom planned all this. I think mom. I don't think it was Miriam. I mean, big sisters may, you know, may be good and stuff. But having a big sister may be a blessing too. But I think it was mom the whole time saying, when you see this lady or when you, whoever picks him up, you tell him, I can get somebody to nurse him for you. Now, Miriam did exactly what she was supposed to protect this kid. So he was planned, he was placed, he was protected, but he was also provided for. You see, the princess needed someone to nurse the child. You see, at those times, women nursed their children, believe it or not, all the way, sometimes up to 7 years old. It is believed that Isaac was actually weaned from his mom approximately between 5 and 7 years old. You don't see that very much anymore, right? And thank God, some of us say, right? Women are like, what? You know what? A 7 year old? That's not good. Sometimes they're bigger than mama by seven. That's crazy, right? But that's a story for another day. But the princess said, wait a second. You know, fetch me a nurse for this kid. Fetch me one of them Hebrew ladies to nurse this kid. And of course, Miriam knew exactly who to get because mama knew exactly what she was doing. You see, I see Jochebeth and I think, that's a resourceful mama. Was your mom resourceful? Right? Aren't moms resourceful? Oh man, they can get anything for you. They can get WIC, food stamps, welfare, you name it. Right? Including a lifetime grant to go get an education, an expensive one too. Because that's exactly what happened here. The government of Egypt took care of the child. Nothing wrong with government services. And if you need them, take them. That's what they're there for. But if you don't, shame on you. Anyway, that was Lanyap. But I want you to think about this. Look how resourceful this man and this mom is. She lives in a hut. She's a slave. And all of a sudden, her child has the best education, has the best food, the best place to live. I mean, lived in the palace of the emperor of the world. Ta-da! This mama knew what she was doing. Simple as that. So God planned him. God placed him. God protected him. God provided for him, but he also prepared him. Isn't that what mothers do? You see, parents, that's one of our finest jobs. Prepare our children so when they go, they go well. We want them to fly. And Jochebeth actually taught her child pretty good. We do not know how long she had him. Of course, she hid him for 3 months. She puts him in the river. The princess gives her back the baby. And now she's got him. And like I said, at the time, kids were weaned by 5 or 7 years old. That means that most likely Jochebeth had minimum of 5 years to invest and prepare this kid for life. Wow, that's amazing. No doubt. It's just no doubt in my mind that this godly woman took advantage of those years she had him at home. Because when he went out into the world, he remembered where he came from. Most likely, mom drilled truth into his life that he would never forget. Most likely, she taught him well. Remember, at the times, dads would go out in the fields and work, and most likely, the children would stay at home with mom until they were old enough to go to work too, but they were taught by mothers also. If you haven't figured it out yet, when Moses came out and became an adult later on, he went against the Egyptians for the well-being of the Hebrews, because he remembered where he came from. And if you still don't believe what's going on here, you know, look at all the books he wrote. He only wrote five. The first five books of the Bible, if you think about it. Talk about how proud this mom would be of his accomplishments. Mom and Dad, I'm pretty sure that you are today willing to do whatever it takes to give your child the best of the best when it comes to education, nourishment, or whatever it is. You see, eventually, later on, when he became an adult. Well, actually, no. Imagine that. Invest in this kid, and then all of a sudden get the call from the palace and say, hey, bring the kid. He's moving to the palace with us now. Imagine now Jochebed not putting him in a basket, but sending him to the palace and giving him away now for the rest of his life. Think about the little kiss goodbye. She probably said to Moses, remember what I have taught you. Remember where you came from. And Moses never forgot because he was well prepared. There was a lot of temptations in the world at the time, believe it or not. The lure of a position, power, wealth, the possibilities were endless. Moses was now the son of the princess of the world. The possibility of even sitting down on the throne as an emperor now. But he didn't forget his mother's training. You see, Mom, God wants to use you. She wants you to prepare your children for the future ahead, of course. And maybe you have already done that. But that doesn't mean that once in a while you can still throw in your 2 cents. And I'm pretty sure you do. And they're like, yeah, Mom. Oh, yeah, Mom, of course. So invest and instill some Christian values overall. Make yourself exemplary. One of the moms that was speaking actually said that. I hope and pray that I become the example of what a Christian is like. You see, the Bible says that when you do that, when they grow old, they won't forget about it. So remember that as a parent, you are your child's first teacher. It is not the kindergarten teacher, it's you. So when we see Jochebed, what do we see? We see courage, we see resourcefulness, we see responsibility, we see a protective woman, a prayerful woman maybe. But the one thing that this mom was an instrument of God's plan and purpose. And that's what you can do as a mom. The best thing you can do is be part and be an instrument of God's plan. You see, I don't know. Some of you have the privilege that right now you're sitting either close or next to your mom. Well, stay there. Don't go away. All right? Well, but if not, maybe you can look around and see some of the mothers in this church that you've known for a while. And you've known how they have invested in their families. You see, or maybe you didn't get to meet your mom. Maybe you weren't raised by your mom. But I want you to right now close your eyes and think of the person who raised you. The one that while she was not maybe your mother, but she was your mom. Maybe you didn't know. Or maybe you didn't grow up with the privilege of having a mom. But if you still can't find someone like that in your life, then allow Christ to embrace you right now. Simple as that. I want you to know something, Mom. You're the most beautiful, the most tender and loving being created by God. And you've been given the privilege of having a connection to children, having a connection to the life of a little being like no one else, from the umbilical cord to your loving arms. What a privilege. Now, once again, as a mom, you have failures. You have your ups and downs. And maybe you haven't been the best mom all the time. But there's a God who forgives. There's a God who restores. There's a God who helps. There's a God who transforms. No matter how old you are or how old your mother may be, cherish, care, love, and provide. Turn the favor back around. Isn't that what God did for you in the womb anyway? Isn't that what God did for her? To take you into her loving arms and keep you? See, the one thing that we need to understand is that no matter what kind of mom you've been, what kind of mom you've had. God planned you. God placed you where you are. God has protected you all the way through. God has provided for you. And God has prepared you to be whom He wants you to be. You're not here by chance. You're not here by coincidence. You're here on a purpose. And that's God's purpose. So that you can experience His care and His love. Even if you have already experienced it from a good mom. God is still extending His arms through His Son Jesus for you and they.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.